The views expressed in this podcast are those of the contributors, not of Q1 Media. You're listening to the Gotcha Movies podcast, the official podcast of GotchaMovies.com. I'm Ryan Oliver.
And I'm Jonathan Roma.
How's your President's Day weekend going so far?
Didn't even know it was President's Day because colleges do not get the day off.
Oh, you didn't? Oh, man.
That's no, I just had class. I didn't know it was like a thing.
Oh, no, that's unfortunate. I know some people who have the day off, but then I know some people who don't have the day off. So it's weird. It's weird that is how that falls. So I guess before we get into our reviews this week, is there anything you've caught up with recently?
The Guest, the movie you and Taylor have been telling me to watch for like months.
I finally saw it. What did you think of it?
Okay. So I really loved everything but like the last 10 minutes.
Did you think it was overly cheesy? Because my dad just said the same thing.
Him
and his fiance watched it. I made them like watch it finally, and they thought the same thing.
It's everything about the movie is great. Like the aesthetic and the tone. Dan Stevens is a beautiful man.
He really like, is a beautiful
those
man.
Piercing eyes, and he does spectacular. And that, and I understand what you and Taylor were talking about, like that 80 cent. It didn't catch me as much as I think it would like Taylor, because I have played a lot of indie video games that like take that aesthetic. So it's a great soundtrack, but it's like I've heard it before, so that's not what sets it apart.
Or even in the movie Drive.
Yeah, Drive. It's been there before. But yeah, as you were saying, that like last 10 minutes where it seemed to cross this weird imaginary line into parody. I think it was the cop, the black cop's eyes, something about what he was doing seemed to be more funny than it should have been.
Maybe so, though I will say I don't disagree anything about what you're saying at all about that. But if you on the Blu-ray, the commentary with Adam Wingard and Simon Barrett, they meant for the whole thing to be kind of funny. But I understand if it breaks away a little bit from everything that came before it.
That, see, like if that had been set up prior, the movie is just so serious beforehand.
Interesting.
To me. This is going to come into play with when we talk about Kingsman, and you were like, I read your letterbox thing talking about the funness of it compared to The Guest. And I was telling Taylor, this movie's not fun.
Interesting, because I thought it was so much fun. But...
okay, we define fun differently then. Like, it's a great movie, and we'll get into it later, but I think as a movie, I liked it more than Kingsman. But
you had more fun with Kingsman, which we'll discuss once we get to our review of that film. Anything else you caught up with besides The Guest?
A lot of TV. I realized that every show I watch is female-led.
That's like, not a bad thing at all.
I know. I just thought it was a weird thing because I watch Parks and Rec, New Girl, Mindy Project, and Broad City. It's something I started watching now.
I've heard Broad City's great, but I haven't got a chance to watch it.
It's really good. And it's sort of this, I feel like it breaks. I'm not a female, so I can't really talk like I know that stuff. But I feel like it breaks that stereotype that we normally see in TV of like a perfect woman. And it sort of gives this sort of real life take on what life is like, I think.
Right. So, I agree. Totally. Most of the things I've been catching up with recently are also been television. I haven't really caught up with any movies recently. But speaking of more real life scenarios, a little bit mixed with heightened, I'm trekking through all 10 seasons of Friends currently that's on Netflix. The show's always been in my life, but I've never watched it from beginning to end. I've just watched it like here or there. That show holds up incredibly well, I have to say. Yeah, it's really relatable to like people our age now and kind of like trying to make it through life. Like, and I didn't realize that as a kid, but like now I'm like, wow, this is still really, really relevant. So I know like in the last couple seasons aren't great. I know it's going to take a turn, but right now I'm in season two and it's still, I know why it's one of the greatest sitcoms of all time. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no, like I was going to add that. Yeah. It's kind of just been in my life.
Yeah. Me too.
It's just one of those shows that has just like been on, I got caught an episode or two on TBS The weird thing is Taylor's girlfriend started watching it too,
Oh,
and I
really?
was yeah, and just like offhandedly because I thought everyone knew. I was just like, oh, it ends like blah 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 blah. Because I remember I've seen the series
Me
finale.
too. I have to.
Like, I think it was such a big event when it happened. Like, my parents watched it, and I remember just sitting there, not knowing what was going on, but just like, I now have that knowledge.
Right. I mean, the show was in the cultural zeitgeist. It still is. Like, I really think some like cable syndicates of big stations could run on Friends and Seinfeld reruns alone. Like, I honestly think they could survive just playing those shows on repeat because they're still popular, and there's a reason why they were popular to begin with. But yeah, I'm with you. Like, I know how it ends, but it's interesting seeing the journey that to that moment. So, yeah, I've been enjoying that. I finally caught up with all of season six of Parks and Rec, so I can finally watch the last season. And I started watching Better Call Saul, the Breaking Bad spinoff, which is,
Never watched Breaking Bad.
ooh, I recommend it. I really do strongly recommend it. I watch mostly comedy shows because I know hour-long dramas are such a commitment, and there's so many of them, and you hear so many good things.
That's my thing.
Yeah, I'm with you
I don't have
100%.
time for an hour. Like, I'm gonna sit, watch 22 minutes of laughs, and then I'm gonna go about my day.
I'm usually that way too, but as far as dramas, like it's probably the most cinematic television show that I've ever seen, Breaking Bad anyway. And so Better Call Saul is a little bit, I'm not going to say lighter because it's still very like darkly funny, but it's, I think they took a very interesting character from that show to make a spinoff from. So it doesn't feel unnecessary. So I've enjoyed the first two episodes and I'll see how season one plays out.
I'm happy that Bob Odenkirk is getting more work.
Me
Like,
too.
Bob Odenkirk, I feel like, is one of those great actors and great just forces in the industry who has just been pushed by the wayside. He doesn't get a lot of publicity.
Yes, he's a great comedic voice, I think. Especially all the way dating back to Mr. Show with him, yeah, with David Cross. So yeah, I'm really he was good on Breaking Bad. Like, I wouldn't say caricature because he was a character, but he didn't really have a lot of dimensions. So it's interesting seeing this character get more fleshed out and found out that there's much more to him than what was on the show. So it's pretty good so far. I think you could enjoy Better Call Saul without seeing Breaking Bad, but it helps.
But like, is it 5 or 8 seasons? I know that's a big difference, but
Five seasons.
okay. But still, at an hour long, that's so much, man.
It is, but if you ever have time, if you're bored in the summer or something,
Yeah, it is all on Netflix, right?
yep, it's all on Netflix.
Okay.
Yep, it's at the click of a button.
It's just harder to just binge watch hour long shows. That's the problem.
I thought that, and almost any other show, I think Breaking Bad and Game of Thrones were the only two that I could successfully binge watch an hour show. Anything else, I had to take it very slow.
I'm starting to feel like I'm just gonna completely miss this Game of Thrones thing.
It's weird because it's such an acquired taste, and like we've talked on the show before, like I'm not a big fantasy person really at all, but that show works for me. Like, I don't know, it's very dramatically involving, and it's also very and like viscerally well done. So yeah.
I don't know. There's no real way if you don't have cable
Yeah, because it's on HBO.
That's
Yeah.
the problem.
Well, they'll
And
have their
so,
streaming service soon, hopefully.
yeah, I think it was April, I think. It
When
was
Game of
sometime this
Thrones
year.
starts, probably. It's their big show. I wouldn't be surprised if that's when they launch it. So that's what we've been watching. Shall we move on to our review?
Didn't you say you wanted to mention something about 50?
Oh yeah. Well, 50 Shades came out this weekend and made 94 million over the 4-day weekend. Jonathan and I did not contribute to the success of that movie. I didn't see it. I've never read the book. You said you have read the
I
first
have
book,
read the
right?
book. It's poorly written. Anastasia Steele is like a vessel, an empty vessel of a character. Sexy scenes are mildly sexy, I guess. But I will say I've been reading a lot about the movie, and it kind of ties into what I was saying earlier about the feminism, that I would just watch shows that happen to be led by women. And I think the movie had an opportunity to do some things, and it's kind of interesting to see that it just this one little movie is kind of bringing it up more.
Yeah.
So although I haven't seen the movie, I think it's leading to some interesting written words.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of good pieces about it and discussion revolving it. I feel like I can't join the discussion because I don't know anything about it. Yeah. So,
these pieces are making me want to see the movie, though, so, just so I can join in.
I agree. If I do see it, it'll be like a rental. I'm not going
to
go out.
I'll have to rent it.
Yeah, I'm not going to lay down my $10 to see that one. But what we did see was the second place movie in the box office this weekend. We both saw it, which is Kingsman: The Secret Service.
Did you see the film Trading Places?
No.
How about Nikita? Pretty Woman? All right. My point is that the lack of a silver spoon has set you on a certain path, but you needn't stay on it. If you're prepared to adapt and learn, you can transform.
Oh, like in My Fair Lady.
Oh, the awful surprises. Yes, like My Fair Lady. Only in this case, I'm offering you the opportunity to become a Kingsman.
A tailor?
A Kingsman agent.
Like a spy?
Of sorts. Interested?
You think I've got anything to lose?
Directed by Matthew Vaughn, based on a graphic novel by Mark Miller, the same team did Kick-Ass back in 2010. Stars Colin Firth, Samuel Jackson, Michael Caine, and Mark Strong. And it's kind of a James Bond-esque. People have touted it as James Bond meets Kick-Ass, I would say. A young recruit in a past life of somebody comes in to train to be part of this Secret Service while Samuel Jackson is the villain. So why don't you start off? Tell us, what did you think of Kingsman?
It's wonderful fun. It is absolutely fun. And I've been looking forward to it since the first trailer popped. I think Matthew Vaughn, I've just realized he is one of the names I remember directing films, and I don't know. I don't know a lot of his past stuff. Jenny was pointing out to me, oh, he's got Stardust on Netflix. Mm-hmm. I didn't know he did Kick-Ass.
He did X-Men First Class as well.
Yeah, he did First Class, and I love First Class.
I do too. Think.
And he wrote Days of Future Past, which, mm-hmm. There's some issues with it, but what he was able to pull off.
Yeah, the timeline with that series is so royally screwed that they, you know, to be able to figure out how to fix most of the plot holes that they had kind of written themselves into, I thought was smart on both him and Bryan Singer's part.
So I really am rooting for this movie. I don't know, it's just a lot of fun, and I was laughing. The whole theater was laughing, especially at Samuel L. Everyone's just chewing up the scenes. Everyone's just, I don't know, emoting so loudly. And I think Matthew Vaughn deserves more success. So I'm really pushing it for this movie and that it, you know, receives the success it deserves. I know you feel a little differently than me, but
I do. But this is what I love about doing the podcast, because I think there is so much more discussion about any movie at all, more than just, you know, slapping a star rating on it and moving to the next thing. Because I think there's so much to talk about. Because, go ahead, sorry.
Oh yeah, like I assume you read the review. I think you told me.
I did read your review, and I really liked your review. And I'm with you in that I am, you know, I am rooting for this movie to succeed because, you know, I mean, it's an $80 million movie. It's expensive, not the most expensive tentpole ever made, but still relatively expensive, very R-rated. Feels like it is a complete vision of this filmmaker. And, you know, and it made $41 million this weekend against 50 Shades, which is, you know, a huge cultural juggernaut.
Yeah.
So the fact that a movie like this can succeed, it gives me hope for, like, you know, we talked about The Guest a little bit earlier, maybe in reference. It gives me hope that somebody like Adam Wingard maybe someday will get the money to do something big. Mm-hmm. You know, gives me hope like that. But with that being said, I did not enjoy this particular movie as a movie. I am rooting for its success in the cultural zeitgeist, but I didn't find it that much fun. I actually found it to be more grating than anything. Like, it's long. I feel overlong. It's 130 minutes, 2 hours and 10 minutes. I felt it was at least 30 minutes too long. I felt this way about Kick-Ass. I really liked Kick-Ass when it came out, But the more I thought about it, I still think that movie works, but like that movie has this this burden that it's like it wants to be subversive and commenting on like the superhero origin story. And it's like, oh, this is the real world. This is what happens when somebody would try and be a superhero in a real world. And I'm like, no, this movie's still a cartoon. Like, it's still a live action cartoon. And so it gets burdened by those like jarring tonal shifts. And I feel like this movie, I don't think it tries to be serious, but there are moments where it's like it's so loose and so like comically violent that there are scenes that try to like give you some emotion, and I don't feel them because I didn't feel them. It earned those moments.
I can't think of anything in particular that you're saying emotions wise. I will step back and say that I am one of those people who always says a movie is too long.
You do that.
I'm a big fan of just hour and a half, hour 45, let me get on with my life type right. movies. But Taylor said it was too long too, and I was like, I don't know, they chop off 10 minutes maybe? I was just having fun in the theater, and maybe it's a product of the fact that, let's see, every movie I've seen from October has either been dark and depressing or just bad. So like Seventh Son, The Boy Next Door, not good movies. Yuri, Foxcatcher, Nightcrawler,
heavy movies,
like all Birdman, all really good movies. And I know you think Birdman's funny, but I just think they're all sort of just sad and
well, Birdman, there's definitely there's doom. A sadness to Birdman for sure. I do think it's funny, but it's also a very sad movie.
I guess it was just nice to sit in a theater and just all your worries kind of go away. You just watch some people get shot. You just watch people jump around, swear. And it's in like, yeah, people are dying on screen, but it's played for laughs. It's so outrageous that it's just sort of, the movie gives into its outrageousness more often than not. So it plays well.
It does give to its outrageousness. And I guess maybe I just don't like that kind of brand. I'm curious, did you happen to see John Wick?
No, that is, I do want to see that because you mentioned that one too. That's why I watched The Guest, so I could more easily compare this with it.
I think John Wick is even a better comparison. I kind of just lumped a bunch of genre movies that I really liked from last year together. But I feel like John Wick, I had the experience watching John Wick that you did with Kingsman. And that movie, I think John Wick's only an hour 40. And I felt like, I was like, wow, you know, this is really well choreographed action. It's really funny. Not like overtly funny like this movie is, but like, you know, more darker humor and like really choreographed action. People get shot, yes, but it's also, I don't know, I felt like that movie balanced. I do like a good action movie that balances some emotion and some sort of groundedness while also being like entertaining and fun. Like this movie, I didn't think it was that fun, but I see where you and a bunch of other people think that it is fun. But it also is very like winking at the camera, like this isn't supposed to be serious. And then there's moments, I don't want to say the exact moment because it is a massive spoiler, but there is a scene that happens in a church, and then afterwards they try to play for at least 20 minutes off some really serious stuff that I just don't, it really, like, I wasn't having that much fun. And then when the movie tried to, you know, get to that point, I was like, hey, this isn't working for me. I just had to kind of admit, I was like, I'm not with this movie.
I will say that church scene is one of the most interesting scenes for me.
The church scene itself, like in the church, is the best scene of the movie for me. I thought that was incredibly well done.
I think I even make a note of this in the review. It was right then where it was walking up on that line of too much. The church scene is great and it was fun, but like it goes on for quite a while. And so like the last 30 seconds I was like, wait, this is all kind of happening in a church and this has been going on a while. Is it becoming too much? And then thankfully it ends, like, as I'm starting to think about that, and I was like, okay. So I will say that whole church segment, that segment and a little afterwards, is where it's brushing up on that line of, you're kind of grating me a little bit.
Yeah.
But I don't think it ever completely crossed over to the point of annoyance.
No, maybe not necessarily annoyance. I just meant the event that happens afterwards that they're trying to, like, you know, elicit some serious emotions. Okay. And it's, you know, even though I have these complaints, I also have a complaints about kind of the aggressive misogyny about the movie, because I feel like the movie's trying to, the movie's trying to subvert, or at least claims that it's subverting, like, the cliches of the Bond movies, especially, like, early Sean Connery movies, where they were kind of gleefully misogynistic because they were the late 60s, early 70s. And but I feel like this movie adheres to that and the silly gadget stuff, like, way more than it subverts it. Like, there's a scene in the movie where Colin Firth's character and Samuel Jackson are having a dinner. They're eating McDonald's, which is, like, really bad product placements.
I thought the product placement in this movie was, like, so bad it was funny.
The McDonald's one was a little funny, but then there's, like, Samsung and some other stuff that I was like, wow, this is really, like, right in the frame. I could totally... And this, the thing is, I do have to admit this about myself before I, you know, go back to what I was saying. All these things that I'm talking about, if I was having fun, I probably wouldn't have noticed or would have glazed over or forgive them. And I think that's key. Because, like, for example, The Raid 2, I know a lot of people are like, that movie is too long, it's bloated, you know, because it's a 2.5 hour movie. And, like, I understand the complaints of that movie, but I was so immersed in that experience that I didn't care. And it sounds like you had that similar experience with Kingsman.
Yeah. That I mentioned in an interview at the end, it was like you said earlier, the scores don't really matter. Like, I said that specifically. I didn't really want to put a score on this one because I felt like I had just bought it.
Yeah.
I had bought everything it was trying to sell me. And I acknowledge the fact that some people won't. Like, when you had, like, when you wrote your little soapbox and Wearing All on it, at the same time, I was disagreeing with you. I was like, oh, he's wrong. But I knew I could see from your point of view, but, like, well, of course. He just didn't buy into it like I did. It didn't work for him like it did for me. Mm-hmm. And so I do mention in the review, like, this score kind of is irrelevant.
Yep.
It's just going to be whether or not you can buy into it. Some people will be able to and some people won't. But I do think, like, it shows, because it was supposed to come out in October, right?
It was originally, yeah. And October's not the most, like, financially successful month for movies, I think. And I think they just wanted to steer clear of, like, the awards movies and whatnot. Yeah. So
I think it's a good alternative to 50 Shades. I think it's playing to the exact opposite crowd.
Yeah, and so, I think that's why both movies were so successful this weekend.
Yeah.
Because anybody who didn't want to see 50 Shades, or, you know, just it's not your type of movie, there was something for everybody this weekend, I feel.
Yeah.
And even with SpongeBob coming out last weekend and being in holdover, it's like you got a kids movie, you have an action movie, you have a romance. You know, you have something for everybody out in the box office, out in the movies right now. So, and it's weird. Again, I root for this movie's success for the sake of, you know, keeping both, like, originality and making these type of movies on this budget alive. I just didn't buy particularly what it was selling. But anyway, where I was coming from about the scene with Samuel Jackson, Colin Firth, I went way on a tangent. I apologize.
Oh,
no, it's okay.
That's also my fault.
No, it's all good. It's all good. That's why we do the show. There's that scene they're talking about, like winking at. They're literally that close from winking to the camera, talking about how, like, basically how the Jason Bourne movie is and how, like, the newer Bond movies are, like, they're so serious now. Like, what happened to the fun ones of... which of the earlier days, which I do understand, and I was like, oh, that's kind of funny. But also, I feel the movie was trying to claim to be subverting the cliches, where I felt Skyfall was more subversive than anything in this movie, and that was a Bond movie. But they are right. It is a very serious movie. Can't deny that.
I guess, like, the way you're talking, it's one of those moments where I see how differently me and you specifically come into movies.
It is.
You have this great ability to see beneath the surface a lot of the times of what the movie is trying to sell you. And I think what I do to complement that is I just don't half the time. I especially with this movie, I just, like, wasn't trying to do that. I wasn't trying to dig for anything deep. There were times where, like, the whole global warming thing, I was like, oh, you're pushing that really hard. That's a little annoying.
And they don't really have any, like, facts or anything to back. Like, the movie doesn't have an agenda. It doesn't have a political agenda. It just uses it as a plot device for the most part. Yeah.
But I think what I, like, enjoy most about this dynamic is that scene for me was just kind of funny.
Oh, I thought it, like, was funny too. Don't get me wrong.
I didn't think it was, like, trying anything to me. It was just, like, it fit with the whole motif that the film had been going with. Just, like, haha, James Bond's stupid. Like,
right.
So let's up it to, like, 25 and just play that.
True.
And the audience that I saw it with was eating it up. Like, everyone was laughing. And as I mentioned before, Samuel L. was just, like, chewing up scenes.
Yes. That's, I do have to, I should probably get into some positives because I've been so negative. And, granted, not only did I just have a fundamentally different experience from you in terms of viewing it, you went to the press screening for the movie, so I'm assuming packed house, every seat's filled. I know how that goes. Right. I went to an 8 o'clock show Thursday night in my hometown. There's probably 9 other people in the theater. So, like, I think there were a decent amount of people enjoying it, but, like, I guarantee your theater had way more energy popping than the one I went into. But I will, yes, Samuel Jackson, I think, is, like, maybe not a great performance, but, like, it's a really fun role. And, like, I thought that was interesting that he's, like, this megalomaniac. He's, like, this Steve Jobs-type entrepreneur who's trying to, you know, control people, essentially. And who control them to do horrific things, but him himself is queasy of violence. Like, like, the scene where his assistant or his right-hand woman, she has, like, knives for legs or swords or something. Mm-hmm. And, like, this just huge bloodbath happens, and she has to come put a towel on everybody who was dead before he walks in. Because he's like, I just can't stand the sight of blood. It just, like, I just projectile vomit everywhere. Like, I thought that was fun performance.
His whole plot, the way he goes about it, is so that he doesn't have to see it.
Yeah,
which I think is great.
Yeah, I think that was really, like, well thought out. There was definitely a lot of thought. I think Matthew Vaughn is a really smart filmmaker. Like, I loved X-Men First Class. I really liked Kick-Ass at the time. I don't like it as much now. I feel like, but that's also partially the sequel's fault, which he did not direct, because the sequel for that movie was pretty terrible. But I like him as a filmmaker. I don't know. And I just felt this movie, again, just different experience. I was outside of it, so I was like, okay, this feels really mean-spirited. I don't necessarily enjoy a gun being waved at a puppy's face. Like,
that's true.
Yeah, like, that's pretty rough. And seeing a stuffed dog, like, I don't know. Like, things like that, I was like, this is just feels kind of mean. But then again, I would be forgiving of it if I was having fun, but because I wasn't.
No, yeah, see, I could see how someone, like, anybody could just see this movie as just too much. Mm-hmm. It's just over-violent, it's not fun, it's mean, it's murderous, and I get it. I can see why someone would think that. But like I said earlier, it's just whether or not you bought into it, I guess.
I agree. And it's weird. I don't think the violence itself upset me in any way because, like, you know, we're talking about The Guest and, like, John Wick. I think John Wick and The Raid 2 are more violent than this movie is because this is very cartoonish. I mean, I don't want to spoil the end, but a big thing happens and it's like out of a cartoon, really.
I could even see myself for a minute. I was like, is this too much? And then I thought, nah, this music's fun. It's just dumb.
Yeah,
like, I bought that. I even bought that because I was having so much fun with the movie.
The one thing, other positive thing I do have to mention, and it would be a shame not to mention it, the character of Eggsy, who's going through training, who's who's the son of somebody who was a Kingsman, who died alongside Colin Firth's character. He's played by this kid named Taron Egerton. This kid's going to be a star. I thought he is really, really, really good in this movie. Maybe even better performance all around than Michael Caine and Colin Firth and Samuel Jackson.
I really liked Colin Firth. I liked their dynamic.
Oh yeah, they had a good dynamic, and Colin Firth was clearly having a ball because we've seen him. I mean, we've seen him in, like, romantic comedies, and we've seen him in, like, you know, The King's Speech or more serious dramas, but never a comic book movie, essentially, which is what this is. So I thought he was fun, but I think this Taron Egerton, like, was really, really, like, well-rounded, just a well-rounded character. So if there's one takeaway, I have to say I thought it was him, and I look forward to seeing what he's going to do in the future.
See, as you're trying to add in some positives, I'm trying to think of some negatives with this movie, but I can't. Like,
there's no problem having no negatives, or even if there are things that slip you. Like, for I think another movie where I had a similar experience, because I you know, I appreciate the compliment about, like, digging deep, but sometimes I don't want to, or there's a movie that just I don't have to because it's working so well. Edge of Tomorrow was one of those for me. I was like, this time travel stuff, if I think about it, my brain's gonna fry because it's not gonna make any sense at all. But the movie just worked so well on the level it was going for that I don't question it, and I still don't question it. So if this movie worked for you as a fun cinematic experience, as it's I know it has for many other people, you're not going to find too many flaws, and you don't have to.
Yeah. I think it's also one of those films that it paid off for me, because like I said, when I first saw the trailer, I saw, you know, Matthew Vaughn, director of First Class. I was like, and I saw the trailer, I was like, I'm really excited for this. Like, it's bound to be fun. It's bound to not be an Oscar movie, but it's going to be fun, and it's going to play well. And it's just like nice for it to just pay off, like to actually live up to what I expected. I was super excited to see it, and it paid off for me. So.
Good. I'm happy that you had that experience. I was leery going in. Like, I was excited. I was like, oh, it's R-rated. Oh, I like Matthew Vaughn. But I don't know. There was something about it. I was like, oh, it looks too much like Kick-Ass. And I was like, I don't know how I'm going to feel about it. But I wanted to like it. I didn't like it. But I'm happy it's a success. It's probably going to make at least $100 million and probably good international box office too. So if this sends a message to be like, hey, give these kind of loose cannon filmmakers a chance to see what they can do, I'm all for that. I am all for that happening.
It's kind of funny that you keep mentioning Kick-Ass, because I know you said you don't like it now, but you did then. I don't think I've ever really liked it that much.
Interesting.
I liked the idea and the aesthetic, but I don't remember much about it.
I remember a decent amount about it, and I don't think I dislike it now. I think I honestly, if I don't know, I'd have to watch it again.
Mm-hmm.
I might compare Kick-Ass favorably to this movie. I think I like it more, but I also really like some of the, like, I thought some of the performances in that movie, despite how tonally wrong that movie is at times, like I thought it was, Nicolas Cage was excellent in the movie. I thought Chloe Grace Moretz was really excellent in that, like legitimately really good performances. Like there were fun roles, like Nick Cage was fun, but also there was a good through line with that character, I felt. Whereas like I really enjoyed Samuel Jackson, I really enjoyed Colin Firth in this movie, but I didn't feel like they had, it was very weightless, I guess.
Yeah.
And again, it just came down to not buying what it was selling. I was like, I need something. I just need something to ground this just a little bit. But it never happened, I guess, for me. So
yeah, it sounds like it kind of comes down to whether you can buy it or not. And some people will.
It does. It's a really hard movie. It's a really hard movie to just like hash out like what worked, what didn't work, because it almost, yeah, it comes down to it either did, the whole thing either did or it didn't. Like, and most reviews that I've read have kind of been the same way. They were either on this movie's wavelength or they weren't. It was just kind of, it's kind of simple as that.
Are the reviews mostly favorable though?
I'd say for the most part, let's see. I think last I checked, it was a 71% Rotten Tomatoes and a 59 Metacritic. So yeah, more mixed on Metacritic, since I think a decent amount of like, oh, like it's fun. And then like I think it's pretty split pretty well between positive and negative.
Sounds about how it would be.
Yeah. I think it's lower on Metacritic. I think more of like, I don't really know. I know what constitutes a top critic, but everyone's a critic. You know, it doesn't really matter what's a critic anyway. But like, I think the people who they pick to be on Metacritic, because Rotten Tomatoes, I think, is more lenient. more people who are susceptible to like the comic book type movies have enjoyed the movie, and so I think it's why it's got a higher Rotten Tomatoes score.
Yeah, and probably why it plays so well to me.
Yeah, you're the big comic book guy, and I don't dislike them. I wanted to like this movie the way that I do something like Sin City, even for like comic book movies. But yeah, I didn't enjoy it, and you enjoyed it, and that's just, I think that's just gonna how it's gonna have to be.
Yeah,
for this one. Oh, any other thoughts on Kingsman before we wrap it up? This is a pretty short and sweet episode.
Yeah. No, I mean, I do implore everyone to try it, take a chance on it. You maybe you won't, maybe you will like it. Just like let yourself go, and just try and buy what it's selling you. Because if you do just buy it, it's tremendous, and it's one of the funnest films I've seen in a while.
Yeah, I I don't disagree in that. Oh, I disagree in that I didn't have fun with it, but I don't disagree in that you should give it a chance if you think that you'd like the movie. It's kind of the same thing. I know you weren't on last week's episode, but it's the same thing I mentioned with Jupiter Ascending, a movie that I hated, but I would recommend if you thought the movie looked interesting, like it is an original movie. So it's like, take a chance on it. Same thing with Kingsman, which Kingsman I definitely liked more than Jupiter Ascending. That's apples and oranges.
No, I will say, what are we in, mid-February?
Yeah.
And although 50 Shades might not be our cup of tea, I think the, you know, where we are at in mid-February, the movies, this week is kind of picking up.
Oh, it's picking up. Yeah. Even last week, like the SpongeBob movie made a ton of money. American Snipers made a ton of money through January and February.
I need to see that movie before Sunday.
Oh, that's right. The Oscars are next week, which we'll be talking about, I'm sure, in a future episode. Yeah, I was not a big fan of that movie either, but it's one of those that it's kind of the way I feel more about that than 50 Shades of, like, you know, joining the conversation. I think it's crucial to join the conversation surrounding that movie.
It's just, I don't know if it works, if you've been seeing a lot of it because you're in Portland, but, you know, being Texas,
yeah,
where he's from, I believe. It's just,
I believe when the movie opened, because most movies when they open limited, like those type of movies, it's New York, LA.
Yeah.
I think it opened New York, LA, and Dallas, because I think he's from there.
Okay.
It's interesting because I know you live there, but when I was visiting in January, I actually watched American Sniper when I was in Austin.
Oh.
Yeah. And I mean, granted, it was a Friday matinee, but there was like not that many people in the theater that I went to.
Yeah. Okay. I was about to say, because like you also have to think, I'm seeing a lot of talk on it on my Twitter timeline because I still have people that I follow from like high school and stuff back in conservative old Waco, Texas.
Yeah.
And so
my hometown's really conservative, and I also have friends who, you know, went off to join the service. So it's, you know, there's an interesting conversation surrounding that movie. I know how I feel about the movie, but I think that's a conversation for another time.
I do need to see it because I think this will be the first year I think I'll have seen every Oscar Best Picture nom. Is Selma nominated?
Yes.
Crap, I need to see that one. Never mind.
You should see that one. That one's
really
good.
I really want to see it.
It's good. That's good, man. I guess I think without further ado, that wraps up our 37th episode of the Gotcha Movies podcast. As always, you can find our news, reviews, and this podcast at gotchamovies.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at Gotcha Movies. This podcast is on iTunes, so be sure to subscribe to us there. So leave a comment or rating if you're so inclined. It helps us know what we're doing right and what we can improve on. If you enjoyed this podcast, you can check out the other podcast I host, Over Under Movies, where we pick one overrated movie and one underrated movie and discuss it. That podcast is also on iTunes. And you can also check out the podcast that Jenny now co-hosts, Film Geek Army, which is at filmgeekarmy.com and as well on iTunes. But without further ado, thank you, Jonathan, for logging out on your Monday that you didn't have off from school.
Real quick, do you have all that like written down? You're just like, you go in a zone and it's just all streaming.
No, I don't have that written down. I just,
you just know, got
I've
it.
Said it. I've said it so many times that it just, it's there in my head. So.
Okay. I guess I also want to add, if you like what we're doing here, I think I've got something in the works for you audio listeners, and it should be fun. And just a little sneak peek. I'm really excited to do whatever I end up doing, and it's been a dream of mine to do what I'm going to do, but I'm super excited.
So. It's super exciting. Well, if it's the same thing that we're thinking about, I have listened to what it is, at least the preview, and you'll be in for a treat when it airs.
Yeah.
But thank you for coming on this podcast, as
thank
always.
Thank you for offering intelligent conversation.
Yeah, that was fun. It's like we disagree, but then we don't really disagree. It's the most friendly argument that could ever be made, I think.
I didn't shout enough. I'm sorry for not shouting enough. I should have shouted.
You should have shouted. I didn't shout either, so it was kind of like, I didn't like it. I did. Oh, okay. That's our episode.
I understand.
All right, well, we'll be back next week with our reviews of, I don't even know what comes out next week, the McFarlane USA, but I don't know what else. And that's Jonathan's thoughts on the latest Kevin Costner.
We'll probably talk about the Oscars more than anything.
Probably. It'll probably be a very Oscar-heavy episode.
If so. I'm on it, I'll just be bitching about Nightcrawler not being nominated, or Jake Gyllenhaal not being nominated for him.
Yeah, that's still very sensitive subject around the Gotcha Movies water cooler, I think. Yep. All right, well, thanks for listening, guys.
Bye. Oh, that ain't working. That's the way you do it. Get your money for nothing. Get your checks for free. We got to install microwave.